Welcome back, everyone. This is Eric Elfson with the Digital Education Podcast. Over the last few weeks, I think it's about 3 weeks now, I've been having regular conversations with friends about what's next for schools, for students, and in education. I think there's lots of conversations out there, lots of prognostications, but I like to have these short conversations with people that I really admire, trust, and just enjoy having these conversations with. So I'm with Dave Hill of HeartSmart. He's in Boris's shed. So if you don't know what Boris's shed is, we'll make sure to link some videos to the podcast so that you can check it out. But Dave, I'm just going to toss it over to you. When you think about what's coming after this, what do you see as what's next?
Well, thanks for having me on, Eric. It's great. It's great to kind of have a little bit of, see a bit of the world outside of Boris's shed. I mean, no offense to Boris, but we're, I think one big piece, there's so many thoughts to that question. One big piece is we've talked for, I don't know, certainly I've been here, aware of the conversations for over a decade of this whole issue of blended learning. You know, it can be so healthy for, living in an information age, children can access information. So this idea that they'll be able to learn something new at home and then bring that kind of how to apply that learning into the classroom is a really, is something we've talked about for a long time. And you know what it's like. Sometimes you kind of talk about doing a renovation on the house or something like that, and it's not until you absolutely have to, you know, you've got guests coming or something like that, that you absolutely, oh my goodness, we really have to get off our backside and do something. And I think there's something about this time of challenge. It upsets the apple cart. It's like it's forced us to do something. And so what we've got right now is children are being homeschooled, but it's part of that that kind of a first step towards blended learning. You know, there's the learning and accessing new skills, new information at home. And I know this has been something that's kind of always been there, but it just feels like it's more at the fore. And so we develop curriculum and we have so much of our material online, but still we found actually so many of our resources were required a teacher, instructor to kind of lead through. And so we've been kind of innovating and pivoting and filming a lot of our lessons and how we film that, you know, how do we engage kids in social emotional learning? So filming it in the style of a children's TV show, but it's a social emotional learning curriculum. But just that whole thing of how do we help kids to access that new information at home. So I can see that as being a key thing when we come back. What does normal look like then? I can see blended learning being a key piece of that. I think another thing that kind of springs to mind is this, you know, one of the definitions, one of the STEM words of education, the word educe. There's kind of a couple of meanings for that, but one of those is to lead out, to draw out. And it's so interesting because often the education system that we're used to is more about what can we put in. You know, how do I get as much of this into kids as possible? And then we'll assess them and let them know if they've passed or failed that kind of knowledge-based understanding. But right at the heart of the word is this idea that there's something of great potential in a child, and education's role is to draw that out, to call it out and to say, hey, I see this in you. I believe in you in this area. So then the child can begin to believe in themselves in that area. And that's the role. A role of education, this idea of it being personal. And I think it's hard. I mean, I think teachers do such a great job. When you're kind of teaching 20, 30 kids in a classroom, it's hard to make it completely personal. You have to get a whole lot of kids up to a certain standard. So I think there's something about blended learning, a kind of a more personal approach, a more kind of, you have a bit of free time now, you've done some of your work, child, now you've got a bit of time to maybe go on Khan Academy or learn something new that you really want to do. There's something within you that you really want to do. So I think there's two things. But I think it's easy to talk about a lot of the good things in this time. I think there'll be some children that are really thriving in this time. But there's definitely, you know, there'll be a lot of children from hard homes and school was a place of refuge for them. And my heart goes out to them. And I think we're yet to see really how this time has impacted them. I mean, parents are finding there's an extra role for them to do. There's already a long to-do list, but now they're the teacher too. And so there's a pressure cooker of emotions there. And, you know, the number of abuse claims are massively decreased. And that's because schools were the place where abuse reports is where this they've been reported. And so it's just, I'm concerned for many children that are kind of in backgrounds like that. And I think what does the future look like? That, I don't know. I mean, I'm all in the world of social emotional learning. So I'm going to say, I think social emotional learning has to be at the forefront. I think what might happen is educators go, gosh, we have to get kids back up to speed. We've missed so much. But you couldn't possibly jump straight into head knowledge without helping children for a couple of weeks process what's been going on in their heart. So that's a couple of my random thoughts. I don't know if any of those kind of make sense or resonate with you.
Well, there's so much in there, and there's so many different directions you can go. But the one that I really want to focus in on is kind of your last point. And you work a lot with elementary and primary age, you know, teachers and schools and students as well as older. But like, what would be an encouragement or what would be a suggestion that as we start to think about bringing people back together, what might be a way or what might be some ways to not only bring people back together, but allow for the reconnection of relationships, but then also allow for, like, have you put much thought into how a school or how a classroom or a teacher might help kids process what we've been through? Because even as adults, we've never been through this.
That's right. Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I think that's right. I mean, it's for, I think, We've created a whole lot of free resources. Little shameless plug: www.heartsmart.family. Free resources for kind of kids. If parents, if you want a little break, then there's the kind of 14-minute lessons activities for them to do. One thing that we're going to definitely put together on there is this transition piece. What does it look like to transition back? And I think that'll be something we'll kind of mainly be focusing on the child aspect, but there is also, of course, parents and teachers that have this huge transition to go through too. And so I've been in conversation with a kind of therapist who helps educate schools in this whole kind of trauma background. How do you help create a healthy culture? And so quite exactly what the answer is, I don't know. All that I know is you have to give space to it. And I think that's kind of the first landing point, recognizing, hey, there's probably some emotions been going on. Do you know what they are? Can you give name to them? Shall we talk about them for a bit? Should we spend some time processing them? And for some kids, it'll be right there, it'll be easy for them to access. And other kids, you know, they've perhaps learned to, their defense mechanism is, let's just keep pressing pause and keep plowing on. And that's what resiliency looks like for them. But you can't sweep some of this stuff under the carpet. I think I would say leaving space for it, number one. I know that's a bit of a fob off answer, but it's definitely the first step. Quite what the questions are and how you do that and how you draw that out. There's a whole range of techniques, but that's something that I've been seeking guidance on, to how do we make sure we do something properly there.
Well, and I think that's incredible. And Dave, I mean, your time and your encouragement and just, you know, this little opportunity to think and take some of these nuggets that could become these significant boulders of, you know, of truth and wisdom, but then also the work that we do, because there is that place. And you said earlier, right, when we get back to school, there's going to be a really significant push of all the stuff that we've got to do. Mm-hmm. Rather than taking that space and giving that space to, in a sense, where you started was to draw out. So I appreciate your encouragement, Dave. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your expertise. And I can't wait to see how some of this stuff unfolds in Boris's shed.
Eric, thank you so much, and thank you for keeping this conversation going. It's been so good, been tuning into some of these and just to be learning and hearing what other people are saying. So thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.